Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Roddy DeBalsi joins us on Fridays at 11:40 from UGASports.com to get ready for the Georgia Bulldogs' upcoming game. Big one tomorrow afternoon against Ole Miss. Roddy, how are you?
What up, Rod?
Doing fine, doing fine. I like the Indian rapper there. That guy is pretty awesome. So we had to pick him for today's music because he's got a point. The Dogs need to be standing on business, as the kids say, when they head to Ole Miss this weekend. They got to be doing it 10 toes in, so that means you're really doing it, not just half doing it. So
exactly. That's how you're standing on business.
I would educate you older guys as to how the young kids speak these days.
We appreciate that.
I do appreciate that, yeah.
We
talked about that phrase a couple months ago, like when people really started saying it, and we're like, could you think we can? And they're like, nah, not really. I'm not going to incorporate that. But it sounds good in the song. Is it as simple as, because we've been talking about this all week, and obviously there's a lot of keys, a lot of factors in this game, but is it as simple as Carson Beck has to play clean and Georgia wins?
Yeah. I mean, it's protect the ball, play good defense, don't have a lot of stupid penalties, and you win this ball game, you know, in Oxford. Turn the ball over a lot, give Jackson Dart extra snaps, I mean, you know, extra drives, and you will lose this game. It's not rocket science. Ole Miss hasn't played a murderer's row of opponents. They've outplayed a bunch of tough teams. Very similar to the way the Texas game went down. Texas hadn't played anybody before they played Georgia, and Georgia beat them. Even though they did turn the ball over a lot, but they had a good running game. If Georgia can run the ball on this defense, which is a lot easier said than done, then they can keep Dart on the sideline and a lot less chance handing the ball off, you know, turning it over that way than throwing it through the air. But if Georgia can run it, not have penalties, do well on special teams, and they win. Georgia should win this game, but you guys know me. I'm nervous as anything because
That's
not what we've seen from Georgia lately. They've turned the ball over a lot. They've won despite, you know, turnovers after turnovers after turnovers. So I'm going to be nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs until they stop turning the ball over. And hopefully this is the week they get it together.
Hey, but Rod, when we talk about quarterback play, because I've been on this all week, I just don't know if I trust him, man. And I don't know, why, because he's throwing damn interceptions, right? And they're bad interceptions. But what do you see from? And obviously, you can say he don't have this guy or this guy from last year's team. We get that, but they're not coming back. Is it him pressing, trying to live up to an expectation? What do you see? Because right now, to me, I hate saying broken because there's still a lot of ball left, but what do you, in your opinions, from your views and everything, like you and Coach Donnan, what do you see as his regression spot right now?
I won't speak for Coach, but Coach has said that, you know, he's off, and you can see that in some of his accuracy. He's a little bit behind guys, in front of them, you know. He's not quite as on target as he was last year. Part of that was the fact that those guys made him look better because they had such wide catch radiuses that they, you know, Brock can catch anything anywhere near him. Same with Ladd McConkey. But he's just not as sharp as he was. There's no question about it. The thing that I'm noticing is that, okay, of his 11 interceptions of the last five games, 8 of them have come on first or second down. 5 of them have come on first down. 2 of them have come on first and 10. So that is pressing.
Yeah.
Because you've got to eat the ball. You've got to take the sack. You've got to throw it out of bounds, stop trying to force it in there. And I get why he's doing it. He doesn't have those targets around him that he had last year. So, and he doesn't have a great running game. So he feels like he needs to do it. Kirby Smart's been defending his quarterback, and a lot of people get mad. You know, why won't Kirby yell at him? And I'm like, have you ever been to a practice? Kirby yells at him, you know, 9 times out of 10. He just doesn't put him on blast publicly on Saturday afternoons after a game. And Kirby makes the point, yes, you know, he threw three interceptions. He didn't have his best game. But we also don't win that game without Carson back. You don't beat Florida without Carson going 12 of 14 for two touchdowns and 309 yards in his last, you know, 14 attempts. So the guy is – he wins you games. He can also lose you games. But when you don't have anything working for you offensively in the run game, you have to throw it. And they're throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game. That's not what they want to do. That's not Georgia football. But that's what right. they need when they can't run it like they want to. So you're going to have a few interceptions, but Carson kind of feels like, hey, I've got to win this game for us. And so he's forcing balls on first and second down that he normally would just throw away because he doesn't feel that he's got a running game to rely on. So he's trying to be a hero, and it's hurting his team a little bit. But at the same time, it still works because he throws for, you know, a couple touchdowns and 300 yards.
Right. He has a great game and a bad game all on the same Saturday.
Yes.
It just depends on what part of
exactly.
it you're watching. What has it been with the run game? Because I know, you know, you got a couple offensive linemen back that had been out, the center's back, Tate Ratledge. Like, we thought maybe that would help lead to the run game being a bit more effective, and it really hasn't. So what is it with the run game from your perspective?
You know, we have a great story at UGA Sports, shameless plug time, that kind of breaks down why Carson Beck's throwing interceptions and, you know, the route timing and stuff like that. It's a great piece. People should go check that out. I could not sanction my guys doing the same story about the run game because I have no idea why they can't run it. When I look at Jared Wilson, Micah Morris, Ernest Green, Tate Ratledge, Xavier Truss, Dylan Fairchild, you know, Daniel Calhoun, Jamal Merriweather, this team should be able to run over anybody. And there are so many guys who could play in the NFL on that offensive line. The fact that they're not just blowing teams off the ball, they're not getting pushed, they're not strong at the point of attack, I can't fathom it. And it's not that they don't have great running backs because, yeah, you lost Brandon Robinson, and Branson Robinson's not exactly healthy. So you lost two great backs, but you replaced them with one of the best backs in the league in Trevor Etienne. And Nate Frazier is a superstar in the making.
Yes.
I predict that kid, he will be in a Heisman talk, even though we know they don't give the Heisman to running backs anymore. But he'll still be in the talk, you know, in year three because he's that good. You've got fast, you've got power, you've got quickness, you've got twitchiness in the running back spot, and you're still having to do jet sweeps to your wide receivers because you can't run. So it is a complete mystery as to why they can't just browbeat people. And they're going up against an Ole Miss defense that is really, really good. The defensive line, they brought in some fantastic transfers of Walter Nolan and Prince and those guys. I don't see them all of a sudden picking this week to say, hey, we're just going to play smash mouth football. Maybe they can, and we will all be surprised, but we have not seen that this year.
What about the D, Rod? Because, you know, they are, you know, last time in, Andy, we before the Texas game, we talked about 11 and 13 showing up. Now, they didn't have a big impact last week in the Florida game, but, I mean, that was those two dudes and that defense all around was the reason that they did win that Texas game.
Correct.
In your opinion, is Ole Miss better than Texas?
They are better in explosive plays, but they are not better on the offensive line. Georgia's defensive line should eat in this game. These guys should be well fed. That center at Ole Miss is not ready for what's coming. This defensive front is going to go after Jackson Darts. Expect Warren Brenson to have a big game. Nazir Stackhouse to have a big game. When I say big game, I mean take up two blockers for the majority of the play. And that allows, you know, Mikael Williams to eat. That allows Jalen Walker to do his thing. When you're having to double those guys and you free up those A gaps for C.J. Allen to come shooting through there or Raylan Wilson, they're gonna come after Jackson Dart to get him off his spot, to make him run, to make him get him uncomfortable. You can't let him sit back there and pick you apart because he is elite at doing that. In the last six quarters that Ole Miss has played, they've looked like a different football team. They are really good. So Georgia has to pressure him. They have to do something to get him uncomfortable. And I think that Georgia's defensive front is going to be the difference in this game.
Roddy DeBalsi joining us here from UGASports.com. Midday show with Andy and Randy getting ready for Georgia and Ole Miss tomorrow afternoon. One of the outside factors, sort of, but obviously it'll play a factor in the game as he is the head coach of Ole Miss, is the narrative surrounding Lane Kiffin and his record in big games. What is it from your perspective about Lane Kiffin and his team in big games against teams like Georgia and others?
he hasn't had the horses. And I mean, he's had some great players, but he hasn't had them top to bottom. So we put him on the same level as a lot of these other coaches, big name coaches, because he's so good at winning with less talent. Right. And if you gave him a Georgia team or an Ohio State, you know, or a Clemson a couple years ago or Michigan last year, he'd win these big games. But you can't quite do it with one great running back, one great quarterback, you know, two great wide receivers, and one good defensive end. You know, you got five NFL guys, and then you got a bunch of guys who will never sniff the NFL. And he'll win with that. So that's why we give him credit. But then when you face an Alabama or a Georgia or an LSU, I mean, he beat LSU, but that wasn't a 2019 LSU. That was a good LSU team. That's why we're like, oh, well, he can't win the big one. And this part of it is he doesn't get a lot of credit because he does stupid.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Asinine stuff with the jokes that he plays and playing the fool on Twitter and the injury report with 75 different guys on it. I mean, it's like it's hard to take him seriously for the old school pundits, you know, when he's being Joey Freshwater. So it's just
Joey Freshwater.
He's a bit immature.
I don't know if it's immature. It's just he's kind of snarky publicly, and he gets a kick out of it, and therefore the people who take sports way too seriously get mad at him, and they look for any way to criticize him, and they can point to his big game performances and say, look, you just can't win.
Tell us the peanut.
I know that a lot of people – go ahead.
I was going to say, tell us the peanut story, because we get to talk to Brandon Adams. He tells us about it because, I mean, rarely, unless he's like a walk-on or something like that, do you see that people get as excited as they did for peanut? What is the deal with that?
So you played the game. You know, there's always one guy who just does everything right, you know, that everybody likes. And, you know, there's cliques on teams, right? There's, you know, these guys hang out and those guys hang out and this position group hangs out after practice. Everybody loves peanut. Everybody likes him. Everybody wants him to succeed. And they also know that he came in with two other really good backs, and Chauncey Bowens, who had a great spring, and everybody saw him in the spring game. Then Nate Frazier comes in and basically takes over his first game just in the summer, and he's the one lighting up against Clemson. So everybody's kind of looking over peanut. It's like, what about him? He gets in, and his first carry is a 4-yard touchdown run. I mean, it was like a movie script, you know. It's not quite Rudy because he's a scholarship athlete, you know. He's a track guy. He's going to be great, but it's just it was 7-8 games in before he got his first chance to run it, and he runs it. He puts it in for a touchdown, and again, it's a guy on the team that is universally liked. There's no jealousy, no beefs, no irritation of this guy being, you know, ranked higher than me or having better NIL. He's just universally liked, and that's kind of why everybody went sideways when he scored.
How is Georgia looking from an injury perspective?
I'm scared to say it because they look good, so I probably just jinxed them. Everybody's going to get hurt in walkthroughs today, but they're looking pretty good. Remember, we were talking about this 3 or 4 weeks ago. We said, you know, they're missing like three of their preseason all SEC guys. You know, Tate Ravage out, Smile Munden out, guys like that. But, getting Tate back, getting Mikael Williams, you know, go back to the Texas game, you know, the week before he played 9 snaps and he played 38 against Texas.
Yep.
Having him back healthy just frees up Jaylen Walker to be a monster. So right now they look really good. I'm curious about Micah Morris going on and off the list there because, again, need to be able to run the ball. He's a people who are normally, just haven't really quite seen him do it this year. So, remember, he was pressed in the service last week. They didn't want to play him, but he's a week later, Tate's got to be feeling a lot better. So, you should be pretty healthy so long as nobody gets hurt in the walkthrough today.
Knock on wood.
Oh, hell.
Hey, Roddy, thank you.
Appreciate it, Rod.
Thanks, guys. Y'all take care.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.